Under a threatening sky, nearly two dozen students and researchers from various colleges in Louisiana, led by Dr. Greg Guzik of Louisiana State University, were very busy at Saluki Football Stadium. When I entered the enclosed walking area right behind the football stands, the first thing I noticed was a long piece of rope stretched out straight and lying on the ground. It was about 20 feet long, with various white shoebox-sized boxes being tied to the piece of rope. And I asked one of those involved in prepping the boxes. His name was Patrick Washington, and I was very curious, so I asked,
"What exactly is inside these little boxes, which will soon be soaring up in the air?"
"Well, we have equipment for detecting data in regards to solar radiation, atmospheric pressure, humidity, temperature, and we want to see the difference in which these factors change during normal daylight and as when the eclipse occurs, because certain anomalies happen during that period of time as where you have, you know, normal radiation from the sun surrounding it, and then you just have a brief period where the sun's cut off. So we want to see what the differences will be. And today is a test flight."
At about 20 feet away in a big van packed with gear, intently studying data on his laptop, sat Dr. Greg Guzik, who is leading the team of students and researchers. Dr. Guzik is the director of the Louisiana Space Grant Consortium at LSU's Department of Physics.
"How would you judge your test a success or a failure, if I can put it in black and white, Dr. Guzik?"
"So a lot of what we're trying to do today is to verify two main things: our tracking with our antenna, who's on the roof here over at the Stadium Club, and then our video transmission. And so a very good or successful test will have verified both of those. All right, we will still be fairly successful if we can do good tracking and connection to our transmitter on the payload string itself."
And the last question, now many people are wondering, since you don't have remote control over the control of it, how and when do you know your balloon is going to come down, and where will it eventually hit altitude-wise?
So that is actually a remote controller programmed into the balloon payload itself. And today we're anticipating a cut at around 75,000 feet, and that will take us down around Benton, Illinois.
"You seem pretty sure of that, even though it's kind of windy. You seem fairly sure that it won't land in the Mississippi or the Ohio River then?"
That's correct. I mean, NOAA provides very good wind predictions, and so we use those wind predictions and the properties of our balloon vehicle to actually get a fairly accurate track of the balloon.
And you have to realize, with any launch of an object skyward, especially when these objects are expensive electronic equipment, a good ground tracking station is a must. So I was invited to climb the three flights of stairs to get up on top of the roof of Saluki Stadium, sitting under a big tent, where several more people each focus intently on several computers and monitors, and one of those closely watching and listening to the crackling walkie-talkies was...
"My name's Doug Granger. I'm a computer analyst at LSU."
"So you're with the team launching the balloon. Now, we're up on top of the stadium, and I see a big satellite dish. What are you guys doing up... Oh, go ahead.
Can you give me one quick second? I'll jump right in?
Yeah.
Roger, all the payloads are beaconing. I have video, and we have the Iridium modem. So whenever you're ready... I believe Bob just called the ATC, so...
I gave him at 10:45 launch time.
Bob gave him a 10:45 launch time, so 15 minutes.
Right, that ought to be good enough.
Roger that.
So what's your purpose, and what is the purpose of this unit here, to track it?
So this is the ground station. So this is basically to track it as it goes throughout its flight. We have a rather large dish up here, and on the payload is a modified APRS handband beacon. We modify it to be off channel so it doesn't interrupt any normal, and it beacons very fast so we get accurate GPS tracking. And we also have two ubiquity modems one on the ground station, one on the flight, that actually create a network between the two at large distances. And we stream a video down, and then we can actually push that to the internet.
So you can keep track of your balloon even up to 90,000 feet. You can know where it is within, let's say, 10 feet of its position?
GPS is not accurate. Commercial GPS is not that accurate. 30 feet, give or take, yeah.
So, of course, the bottom line, when it does come down as a part of the plan, you'll be able to know where to send the team.
Exactly. We know exactly where to go, and we actually send a team out shortly after launch. They go to a location somewhere in between launch and where they think it'll touch down, because you could predict it a day or two in advance. And they go and sit at a gas station and just watch it come down, and then plan out their recovery method, figure out if it's going to be on private property, who to get in contact with, stuff like that.
Okay. I assume this was not you and your team's first launch, correct?
No, this is our 54th launch with a small balloon. Okay. We also do rather large balloons, but NASA typically handles the tracking of that.
Okay. Can you describe, once the balloon is fully inflated, what is the dimension, since this is radio? Paint a picture.
So the balloon on the ground is inflated with helium for a lift of about 1,000 feet per minute. And on the ground, it'll be about 8 feet in diameter. By the time it reaches 100,000 feet, it's almost 60 feet.
And it's made of very strong Mylar type?
No, these are just rubber. These are basically what you would, a little bit thicker than what you would get with rubber gloves.
Okay. Got all this science and you've done this a lot, but are you still nervous?
In the rain, yes.
Okay. Looking forward to August 21st?
Yes, we are. I think we're gonna launch two on August 21st. So this is becoming old hat. However, every launch always has its gotchas.
Right. Yeah, Murphy's Law or something.
Murphy's Law comes in. I think we had a launch once that in Louisiana that was supposed to go about 20 miles. It didn't cut down, so it went all the way up to Pop, which was about 110, and came down about 70 miles from where it was supposed to in Lake Pontchartrain inside no-go airspace, unfortunately.
Well, I better let you go. Thank you, sir.
Right, thank you.
And as the team on the football field below me readies the balloon and the payload for liftoff, here, up on top of the stadium, in the strong drizzle now, at Mission Control, it was showtime. Oh, and did I say the rain started getting heavier?
All right, we are ready for launch. Are you guys good to go? Are you guys good to go, or do you need some other check out here?
We are good to go.
All right, do we have clearance from FAA to launch, Bob, Air?
Bob is nodding an acknowledgement, yes.
Okay, ready? All right. On 3, 2, 1, release.
And the white balloon with a tail of electronic equipment leaves the 30-yard line of Saluki Stadium and heads skyward.
All right, we still have stream, we still have... We have a good signal, have a good video, have iridium tracking, or just some updates.
Good job up there, guys. Still tracking? Do we still have video?
Video is good, iridium is tracking, and we are getting beacons, and Chris was just taking a peek, and it looks good.
Excellent, excellent.
And back down on the field with another team member, Joanna Rivers, associate professor at Delgado Community College in New Orleans, gave her thoughts on the launch.
Okay, the launch is done. We're standing on the football field on the scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most excellent, most perfect launch. What would you call this?
I would definitely say that this is an 8. I'm only docking 2 points because of the weather. It is raining. And that may hopefully won't interfere with the equipment too much, but it will obscure the view from the cameras. So I know they'll be disappointed in that. But as far as launches go, it went extremely smoothly. None of the payloads hit the ground or hit anyone in the head. And we launched right on time.
Yeah, sure enough. And of course, once it gets up above altitude, it'll be above the clouds, but it'll still continue to get data and send it to you through the cloud cover, right?
Absolutely, provided that everything is working properly here on the ground.
Okay. So now what do you guys do? Just kind of twiddle your thumbs until you find the landing spot?
Oh, no. As soon as Dr. Guzik has finished up with the media over there, everybody's going to run and get in that van, and they are going to go and chase the balloon until they determine approximately when it starts to descend.
And at the time this report was filed, that LSU balloon was still up there, somewhere floating, soaring over southern Illinois, gathering data and getting ready for August 21st, 2017. For WSIU at Saluki Stadium, I'm Kevin Boucher.